Good afternoon, 4:30 and 65 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
I'm also grateful that Governor Matt Bevin, his wife Glenna, and his family could be here, along with Lieutenant Governor Jeanine Hampton from Kentucky.
Kentucky's top two officials were on hand along the Ohio River today when President Trump kicked off his push for $1 trillion in infrastructure improvements.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says it's ready to begin $50 million in road and bridge repairs beginning in July.
And State Representative Rocky Adkins ponders a bid for governor.
In sports, Rowan County High School prepares for the state baseball tournament without its coach.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy tonight, low of 53. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
President Trump this afternoon launched his push for a $1 trillion investment in the nation's infrastructure with a speech along the Ohio River. The president was in Cincinnati to talk about what he considers a major part of his domestic agenda.
So wonderful to speak on the shores of the very magnificent Ohio River. We're here today to talk about rebuilding our nation's infrastructure. Isn't it about time? Spending money all over the world, except here. We don't spend our money here. We spend it all over. And we'll do it using American labor, American energy, American iron, aluminum, and steel.
The president was joined by executives from AK Steel, Peabody Energy, and Marathon Oil, as well as several of his cabinet secretaries. Kentucky native Scott Pruitt heads the Environmental Protection Agency.
Here we are on the Ohio River. And on a barge near us, we have coal that's being transported on this river. We obviously see agriculture products transported on this river. And so this is key to the economy and growing our nation. And we as a country need to once again invest in our infrastructure because dams and highways and water infrastructure needs to be revitalized to ensure economic vitality as a nation.
President Trump has said he'll fund the infrastructure improvements from $200 billion in tax breaks over a nine-year period.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is prepared to move forward with $50 million in new construction projects next month. That's what the KTC's highway engineer Patty Dunaway told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort Tuesday. Dunaway testified before the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on Transportation. She says the cabinet put a hold on new construction in the initial year of the current two-year state budget in order to shore up its depleted road fund. However, Dunaway says, the new fiscal year begins in July and the fund is in better shape now.
Currently, the Transportation Cabinet's cash balance looks like that it's definitely going to support that $50 million. Plus, we're seeing that the road fund balance has been positive, so we feel like we're going to be able to invest more than the $50 million. Don't know for sure exactly how much that's going to be because we still do have some payments that we have to make.
Dunaway says those payments include debt service. She says projects that'll be started soon will be listed on the Transportation Cabinet's website.
A Western Kentucky lawmaker thinks state transportation officials should put a higher priority on bridge repairs. State Representative Lynn Beckler is a Republican from Marion.
There are some bridges that I pray every time I go over that we don't end up like we did in Minneapolis. And I think going into the drink is not real safe. So I would urge you to take another look at this and see if there's a way you could come up with more money for infrastructure, primarily bridges.
Beckler was referring to the 2007 collapse of an interstate highway bridge in Minneapolis. Part of the structure fell into the Mississippi River, killing seven people and injuring more than 60 others.
Kentucky's Democratic Attorney General is threatening to sue the state's Republican governor for the fourth time. Andy Beshear says Governor Matt Bevin's executive order last week that dissolved and reorganized several state education boards was unconstitutional. He spoke today at a press conference. He says his decision to sue Bevin for the fourth time is all about holding up the Constitution and the rule of law.
Our Constitution has some of the strictest separation of powers in the country. It says only the General Assembly may make the law. And it says a governor has a constitutional duty to faithfully execute that law, not to suspend it and rewrite it as he wishes.
He says Governor Bevin broke the law and defied the Constitution when he eliminated state boards that set curriculum standards and certify public school teachers last Friday. Bevin argues that state law gives him the authority to reorganize state boards as he sees fit, and Beshear hopes this new lawsuit will result in a Supreme Court ruling removing Bevin's authority to dismantle and reorganize independent boards.
State Representative Rocky Adkins of Moorhead admits he's considering a run for governor. Adkins, who's currently the House Minority Leader, says he's receiving a lot of encouragement from fellow Democrats to make a bid for the state's highest office in 2019. He plans to discuss the matter with his family and further measure his potential support around the Commonwealth before making up his mind about the issue.
That type of support, in my opinion, is what it takes to run a statewide campaign. It takes that kind of organization, that kind of commitment, that kind of, heart and soul of myself and others who are willing to organize on the ground to help get our message out. And so that is really a determining factor. And, of course, the other factors, you've got to be able to raise money as well. It takes money to run campaigns.
For the time being, Adkins says his main focus is to help the Kentucky Democratic Party recruit quality candidates that can assist the party in retaking control of the statehouse.
Governor Bevin claims the new home in eastern Jefferson County he purchased is worth about half of the county's appraisal. We get details from Ed Huckleberry.
The governor's lawyer tells the Jefferson County Board of Assessment Appeals the mansion in Anchorage needs a lot of structural work, and because of that, the city estimated its value at $2.2 million. Bevin's LLC paid $1.6 million for the home, which the PVA estimates is worth $2.9 million. The difference between the estimates and what the governor paid is the focus of two ethics complaints. I'm Ed Huckleberry.
Prior to the Rowan County School District taking over the building now housing the Rowan campus of Baysville Community and Technical College, the facility will need some work. That word from Superintendent Marvin Moore. After MCTC Rowan decided to build a new campus center in 2015, it sold its current home to the Rowan School System for $5 million. Superintendent Moore says while the structure is generally in good shape, it will require several upgrades before the district can move some of its offices and programs into it in the next couple of years.
We've already submitted the BG1 to KDE, and we submitted $2.1 million to renovate that building. And most of that cost is going to go towards the Early Learning Center, because a lot of those rooms and the things that we have to meet the code, that's where the majority of the cost will go.
A BG1 is a project application request to the Kentucky Department of Education. Moore says a kitchen and activity room for the district's preschool program, special upgrades for its alternative school, and two athletic dressing room areas will also have to be installed in the MCTC Rowan building before the district can make use of it.
The nearly 9 million people who use Ohio's public libraries depend on them for a wide range of services, and in many cases, state funding cuts could not be replaced with local revenues. That's what Michelle Francis told a panel of state senators in Columbus today. She's director of Government and Legal Services for the Ohio Library Council and testified before the Senate Finance Committee.
58 of the 251 public library systems do not have a local property tax levy and rely solely on their state funding as their main source of revenue for day-to-day operations.
Francis says people use their local libraries for research, community meetings, broadband access, and to look for jobs. She says Ohio's public libraries are receiving less state support today than they did in 2001.
Lewis County continues to work to earn a key designation that will make it more attractive to potential new businesses and industry. Judge Executive Todd Ruckel says his county is making strides as it bids to earn work-ready community status from the Kentucky Work-Ready Community Review Panel. It received an in-progress grade in 2014. Ruckel says Lewis County has now met four of the six standards required to be considered work-ready. The last two involve broadband access and educational attainment.
SOAR, shaping our Appalachian region, is looking at bringing our broadband up to date and bringing it into our community. So that's really going to help. And then our other one is our education attainment, and that's where we have to help get our folks here in the county some college education.
Right now, just over 18% of Lewis County's residents have associate's degrees or higher. That figure needs to be at least 39% before it can obtain work-ready status.
Crews from the Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 office will begin installing a new $82,000 culvert on Kentucky 784 in Greenup County next week. The road will be closed during the work from Monday through Friday. Alan Blair is the spokesman for District 9.
Our crews will start with excavating the roadway over the area where the culvert's going to be installed and removing the temporary pipes that we have put in there. And that will take a couple of days, and then they'll install and build the culvert on site about midweek. And we hope weather cooperates for us and everything. We hope to have everything back open by Friday.
Blair says motorists heading out towards Kentucky 784 can detour using Kentucky 7 via the AA highway or State Route 3308.
The city of Ashland is planning to raise taxes. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has more.
The Independent reports Ashland's Board of City Commissioners is drafting the city budget for next fiscal year. The current version includes a 3.6% increase for water, sewer, and garbage rates. The city finance department says those boosts would generate about $275,000 in new revenue. It would mean an extra few dollars per month for city residents. The proposed hikes are in response to a shortfall in the operational cost of the engineering department, thanks to a large amount of unbilled water flow through over 100 breaks in the water main, which have developed in the past year. The city is also considering reducing the overtime pay it offers its employees, having paid over $1.5 million in overtime since the beginning of the year. The board resumes work on the budget on Thursday. For MSPR, I'm Arlo Barnett.
Senator Mitch McConnell says he supports the vote of his Senate colleagues this week, urging President Trump to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. The Kentucky Republican says he has advocated relocating the facility from Tel Aviv for many years.
I understand that presidents have consistently felt that that somehow prevented meaningful peace process talks, and it appears to me at least President Trump believes that, at least for the short term.
However, McConnell is hoping the president eventually changes his mind. The U.S. Embassy has been located in Tel Aviv since 1966. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight cloudy early with some clearing expected late at night. There's a slight chance of a rain shower or two, lows around 51 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, followed by scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs around 71 degrees, and the chance of rain tomorrow is at 40%. Tomorrow night, a stray shower or a thunderstorm is possible early. Partly cloudy skies, lows around 51 degrees. And Saturday, we'll see plenty of sunshine, highs around 85 degrees. It is currently 66 degrees in Ashland, 65 degrees in Winchester. It's 64 degrees in Flemingsburg, 68 degrees in Lexington, it's 70 degrees in Inez, and right here in Moorhead, it is currently 65 degrees.
4:44 on our feature segment this afternoon, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian talks with French-born artist Frederick Bonin Pizarro. In the first part of their conversation, Pizarro describes his childhood growing up amongst the creative intelligentsia of Paris in the 1960s.
And I didn't realize back then how privileged I was, because I had wonderful free education, a wonderful cultural environment, and everything was right there. My father was a graphic designer, and he was also a painter. My mother was we call that a homemaker, and the apartment we lived in was a beautiful place, full of sun, and we had always a bunch of guests, a bunch of people coming, showing up. So growing up, I got in touch with a lot of different people, mostly what we would call intellectuals, writers, musicians, graphic designers, painters, sculptors. I was allowed to stay for a little while, you know, and listen to the conversations and be part of all this. And I learned a lot, actually. In France, education is free, but it's very competitive. And so I had 1 year prep, and then I entered L'École des Beaux-Arts in Paris, which is the main school for fine arts. I studied for 4 years altogether with my prep. I was offered a job. It was layout and set design. It was the equivalent of Disneyland, but it was like a French Disneyland. It was a new concept. It was creating like a park indoors with tons of different attractions. And for a young kid, it was very exciting to work on something like that. And I did that for 3 years, and then unfortunately they went bankrupt. We decided to move in the country, 60 kilometers away from Paris, and you know, all along I was always painting, so I was showing my paintings and doing some sales, but also I created some sort of school to help long-term unemployed adults to get back on track and get back to the market and look for jobs. Mm-hmm. Because
a retraining program?
I have a deep love for modest people. We don't choose where we're born. You know, the environment we're born in, it's just happened to us. And some of those people were pretty unlucky. And I always had this tenderness, I guess, this love for people that are not very lucky. And it was the way to help them, actually. I used art, but it was not the main ingredient. It was just to try to help them, you know, and get back to a job. And sometimes I was successful, but it's a complex issue. It's difficult. I did that for several years. And then after that, I had a chance to show my work in Cincinnati. I rented a studio because it was easier to paint over there than just ship the paintings. And I was lucky that somebody thought I was interesting enough that they asked the art critic of the time to stop by and look at my studio and look at my work. I thought, okay, I'm going to have a couple of lines, you know, somewhere. And in the weekend edition in the Cincinnati Inquirer, I got the cover of the Tempo section, which is like the place to be if you're any type of artist, intellectual, or whatever. And that kind of started my career in America. When you're the kid from Paris that had some successes, and then you come to America, and then you get this first page in the newspaper, and then you start to get interviews, and you get attention from people, and then you sell, you pre-sale shows, which happened to me when I sold 25 paintings before they were even painted. You're young, you start to get a big head. And I learned my lesson. It was so much pressure. I signed some contract with some big galleries. It was 3 years. That was the worst time of my life.
You were very successful in quotes.
And extremely unhappy. When you paint, I mean, or you do any type of creation, if you're serious about it, you put your guts out there, and you're so unsure. Actually, the more I sell paintings, the less confidence I have. The nature of being an artist is being conflicted, being impossible to deal with, and you suffer a lot. I mean, painting is so hard. It's so much easier not to do anything. And nobody tells you to sit down and paint something out of the blue. You have to kick yourself in the butt and you have to struggle to create.
Thank you very much for coming and talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome anytime.
That is local artist Frederick Bonin Pizarro on our regular Wednesday series, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. 4:49, All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. When the Round County baseball team opens play in the state Sweet 16 tomorrow in Lexington, head coach Keith Prater won't be with the Vikings. The 38-year-old Prater was diagnosed earlier this week with leukemia and remains hospitalized as he begins treatment. Assistant Rob Ward says while the Vikings players will be fired up to win for their head coach, Prater doesn't want their focus being on his situation.
He'd be more interested in making sure these kids have the time of their lives and instead of worrying about himself. And so we're going to try to keep him in our thoughts and our minds and our hearts and go out there and do what he would want us to do and is basically leave it all out on the field and give 110% effort out there like he would always want.
Round faces Muhlenberg County at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon in Lexington. The Cincinnati Reds will look for their third straight win against St. Louis tonight when they host the Cardinals at 7:10. Last night, the Reds blasted the Cards 13-1 behind a huge night from Scooter Gennett. The unlikely slugger became just the 17th player in big league history to hit 4 home runs in a single game.
It's surreal, man. It really is. I'm truly blessed being from here, born here, watching all those guys play when I was little, and to do something that's never been done is just, I don't know, I can't put words on it, but, it's an honor for sure.
Gennett also tied a Reds record for driving in 10 runs in the win. Cincinnati will pitch 3-4 veteran Bronson Arroyo tonight. 4-3 Lance Lynn will work for St. Louis. Some afternoon scores from around the major leagues. Colorado leads Cleveland 4-0 in the fifth inning. The Nationals lead the Dodgers 1-0 in the fifth as well. And Toronto leads Oakland 4-1 in the third inning. Commissioner Rob Manfred is supporting the Arizona Diamondbacks suit against Maricopa County, which says the county is responsible for $187 million in needed upgrades to Chase Field. The county has balked at spending the money. Manfred said he also backs the Diamondbacks' actions to seek a move out of the ballpark if the renovations aren't made, saying Chase Field needs them to remain major league quality. East Carter begins its second straight trip to the girls' fast pitch softball state tournament tomorrow in Owensboro. The Lady Raiders open things with Collins at 5 p.m. East Coach Derek Calhoun says the 8th region champions are a good ball club.
You know, we're going to have to come ready to play. They hit the ball well, got a lefty that pitches for them. Odom girls, pretty good, moves the ball well. So, you know, that's something that, you know, we've tried to get the girls prepared for. You know, we've tried to find some lefties to come in, throw to them a little bit, and give them a little live BP. So hopefully that helps.
While East Carter is 33-3, Collins sports a record of 28-9. One other note from area softball, longtime Boyd County head coach Jeff Stewart has resigned. Stewart had been the head coach of the Lady Lions for 16 years. He had a record of 371 wins and 210 losses during that time. Boyd County went 18-16 this past season, losing to East Carter in the first round of the regional tournament. The NBA Finals shifts to Cleveland tonight for Game 3 between the Warriors and Cavaliers. After winning the first two games in the series by a combined total of 51 points, Golden State will look to take a commanding 3-0 series lead. Cavs forward LeBron James says despite being blown out in the first two games, he and his teammates still have a desire to win.
They're playing well. They're playing exceptionally well, and at the end of the day, I want to win just as bad as they do. And obviously, they probably got a bad taste in their mouth from what happened last year. And we had one in our mouth last year from what happened the year before. I've had a few bad tastes in my mouth from what happened in the finals. So, you know, I've always had that feeling. So it never changed for me.
Tonight's game tips off at 9 p.m. The Ohio Valley Conference is increasing its number of league basketball games next season. With all of the OVC teams facing each other in home-and-home situations, each of them will have 18 league games. They'd played 16 of them the last several seasons. Morehead State head coach Preston Spradlin likes the change.
Now you got an opportunity to add two more games that have a little more meaning than non-conference games and two more opponents that are probably a little more comparable to us. And those games carry a little more weight. Flip side of that is you also are going to get another home game and gives you an opportunity to make the race for the conference championship and seeding a little more interesting each year.
The OVC Conference 2017-18 basketball schedule is slated to start on December the 28th. The 12th annual Northeast Kentucky East-West Senior Bowl game is set for Friday night at 7:30 at Morehead State University's Jane Stadium. Organizer Tom Posey says this year's contest will give area high school football fans one less chance to watch 2016's top senior players in action.
Right now, with the East yesterday, I think they had 20-21, and he had another 10 that couldn't be there yesterday. They're supposed to report today. So if those 10 show up, the East should be in real good shape on numbers. The West should be okay. I think number-wise, I'd say probably 30, 35 on each team this year.
East Carter's Tim Champlin will coach the East All-Stars, while former Bracken County coach Mike Sizemore will run things on the West. Sizemore will coach next season at Clay County. Finally, in sports, Bob Stoops is stepping down as head coach of the Oklahoma football program after 18 seasons as the head man. Stoops is the winningest coach in OU history with a 190-48 record, including winning the BCS National Championship in 2000. Offensive coordinator Lincoln Riley will take over as the head coach of the Sooners. Stoops is expected to remain with Oklahoma in some form. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State men's basketball will host the 2017 Preston Spradlin Basketball Camp June 12th through 14th at MSU's Johnson Arena. Morning and afternoon sessions for boys and girls entering kindergarten through 12th grade. More information at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher as investors hope the testimony from former FBI Chief James Comey will be less damaging to President Trump than previously feared. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 37.46 at 21,173.69. The S&P 500 was up 3.81. at 2433.14, and the NASDAQ composite was up 22.32 at 6297.38. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 15 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winter, so the broader market weaker than the major indices. Oil was in the spotlight today as West Texas Intermediate Futures for July delivery of oil shed just over 5% to settle at $45.72 a barrel after the Energy Information Administration reported a surprise build in crude inventories. The Senate Intelligence Committee released Comey's full written testimony this afternoon, at which time the major indices traded back near session highs as traders seemed reassured that this testimony would not severely damage President Trump. Elsewhere, the European Central Bank is set to release its latest monetary policy decision tomorrow. While interest rates are expected to remain unchanged, the central bank may cut its inflation forecasts. And European markets were actually down, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a loss of about 0.2%. Asia was mixed, with Shanghai up 1.25%, and the Hang Seng was down about 0.1%. Gold was down 0.625% to finish at $1,289.40 an ounce. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Nike and United Health Group. The worst performers were Coca-Cola and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Signet Jewelers and Intercontinental Exchange, and the worst performers were Newfield Exploration and Molson Coors. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 20 cents at $66.66. CSX down 18 cents at $53.77, AEP up 48 cents at $72.61, AK Steel up 7 cents at $5.97, Marathon Petroleum down 14 cents at $52.95, and Community Trust Bank was up 50 cents to finish at $42.15. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking a final look at the weather report for the MSPR listening area tonight, cloudy early with some clearing skies expected late. There's a slight chance of rain showers, lows around 51 degrees. For tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, followed by scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 71 degrees, and the chance of rain is at 40% tomorrow. Tomorrow night, we'll see a stray shower or thunderstorm early in the evening, then partly cloudy skies, lows of 51 degrees. And Saturday, plentiful sunshine, lows around 85 degrees. It's 65 degrees in Morehead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Ed Huckleberry. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.